Welcome and good morning again. We continue our series, Fired Up. And this morning we're looking at a table where all are welcome. It is a bit of a lengthy reading, I would say, but it is one of the pivotal scriptures in Acts and for the history of the early church. And so I invite you to listen to this story, which is so very important. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius, Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along the way. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made up to him and said, "Get up. I'm only a man myself." And while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you've sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of being baptized with water, for they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, We are looking at Fired Up, a table where all are welcome. I don't know what all your summer activities include. For me, way back when, my family didn't do this a lot, but we had family reunions. Anybody do family reunions out there? Good time, I guess. For ours, you know, we didn't have a huge number, but one of the biggest ones I remember was July 4th weekend, on July 4th. And my father was an aficionado of firecrackers and fireworks. Not firecrackers, man. He went for the big stuff. He shot off cannons. The police were often called. But since he knew the police, it was no big deal. But anyway, but the funny thing was, I mean, man, I don't know what your family is like, but my family is so diverse politically, philosophically, you name it. It's diverse in every single way. And when we'd get together, and sometimes with a little bit of alcohol involved, like, and if the conversation turned to politics, oh my God. There was more fireworks there than when my dad started setting them off, right, for the 4th of July. And thank God, the only thing that really everyone agreed on was the Steelers. So, you know, the after things got carried away, the word to unite everybody was, hey, how about those Steelers, you know? So whether it was a good season, bad season coming up, it was how about those Steelers, and it kind of got us back together, some kind of call to unity. But it's interesting because when we think about families, we don't think about everybody being believing the same. We think about everybody being related, right? Isn't that it? And something that unites us. And I think that's, you know, an image that we need to keep for the church, because sometimes we think, well, gee, because we are related, we believe everything exactly the same. But God's church is truly a more diverse and larger vision than that. And so I want that in the back of your mind as we walk into this story this morning. And of course, we've been in this Fired Up series looking at the book of Acts, which is not just the history of the early church, but is actually a call by Luke for the church to fire itself up because it already started to wane in its passion. And I said I want you to keep before yourself three questions as we go through this series this summer and hopefully in life in general. You know, what is your level of passion, number one? What is your level of passion, number one? Not just for other things, but for faith in Jesus Christ. What are the gifts that you have to share? Because the Acts is all about what? The Acts, the action. The action is the word there, the key word. What gifts do you have to share? And what is your level of resilience? As you face challenge and adversity, what is your level of resilience? Life happens. Life comes before us with difficult situations, with challenge and adversity. And the question is, how are we going to respond to that? So what is your level of passion? What are the gifts that you have to share? And what is your level of resilience? So, and we talked about open the windows, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And just a couple weeks ago, we looked at the story of Stephen, all in. And last week, we looked at the conversion of Paul, knocked off your horse, and applied those truths to our own lives. So, as we look back at this story this morning, the first thing is Cornelius' vision. Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. So, that might not mean much to you today. But to a Jew in the day of Peter and Paul, it was a huge thing. Why was it a huge thing? Because a Roman centurion was one of the lead soldiers, a leader of 100 soldiers, who was in charge of oppressing and keeping the Jewish people in line. They were the enemy. And not only that, politically, but also religiously, because the Jews, and even the early Jewish Christians who considered themselves both Jews and Christians, nothing wrong with that, and they didn't really welcome Gentiles as a whole, despite the fact that Jesus had ministered to, you recall, a Roman centurion. It wasn't a problem for Jesus, even though he came first for the Jewish folks, and so as the plan unfolds. So we're told that Cornelius is a devout person of prayer and giving to the poor. How many know that God honors that? And we don't know much about his faith life, but you can be sure that he wasn't Jewish, and he probably wasn't Christian either. And it's interesting because he's praying, he's seeking God, and he's doing good works and being generous and giving to the poor. And how many people know that God hears the prayer of people regardless of their faith background? If you're praying to God, God hears it. God hears it. Now, God has some journey ahead for Cornelius and all people who pray. And so Cornelius is praying, and he sees an angel come to him. And the angel tells him that God has heard his prayer and that God appreciates his giving and caring for the poor, and that he wants him to send messengers to Peter. He tells him, a ways away in Joppa, and to bring him, and that Peter has a message for him. That's his vision. Wow. And I want you to notice something, that he obeys the vision. He hears the angel. A lot of people, you know, they don't. It's, you know, I know there's tensions. I know that that's some other nationality. I know that's some other religious view, political view, whatever it is. But here's the angel, and he's praying. Meanwhile, there's Peter's vision. Peter is praying. Peter is fasting, so we're told, because he's hungry, right? It's amazing when you pray that there's distractions. When you try to pray, some distractions, like all of a sudden, yeah, I'm hungry all of a sudden. You got to work through that, right? So Peter is praying, and he's hungry, but God uses that. All of a sudden, Peter sees a vision. And the vision is like this giant tablecloth, if you will, even without a table, being sort of coming down from heaven. And as the four corners are held up, there are all these foods, including those that are considered unclean by Jewish believers, the Levitical laws in the Hebrew scripture. And the command comes from God to eat. And Peter says, no, no way. I only do kosher food. And God says, don't call unclean what I have made clean. And that happens three times. And Peter, no doubt, is sort of taken back by that. And just at that moment, there's a knock at the door, which you know that God lines things up. And there's three messengers, even as the three times the tablecloth came down from heaven. There's three messengers, two servants and a soldier, from Cornelius, the Roman soldier, the Roman centurion. And they say, please come with me. And Peter's ready to go because Peter was told to go by the Lord. So Peter was praying also. God honors prayer. You'll see prayer throughout Acts, because when the church is on fire, they're praying, right? And when you pray, God will recreate the fire. God will rekindle the faith. And so Peter is praying, and God gives him a new direction, and Peter goes. He's not sure, right? And as he goes, and this is more than a day's journey back to Caesarea there, and so Peter goes, and then he comes to Cornelius' home. So you got Cornelius' vision, and you got Peter's vision, and now we have God's vision. We have God's vision. Because Cornelius is there to greet Peter, and he brings some people out and starts to tell Peter. He says, and Peter says, well, what am I supposed to do? And he says, the angel of the Lord told me to send for you. We're waiting to hear what you have to say. Now, first, he fell down at Peter's feet, and Peter said, no, I'm a man just like you, right? I'm called, but I'm here on behalf of Jesus Christ. And so he goes in, and Peter begins to, like, explain the gospel that Jesus is here, that Jesus Christ came. It's a fulfillment of the prophecies of Hebrew Scripture, and that Jesus has brought forgiveness and grace to everyone. Everyone is open to that. Doesn't matter about your previous faith or nationality or race or anything else, anything at all. Just receive the arms and love of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And as he's saying it, man, the Holy Spirit comes into the room just like the upper room. Just like the upper room. And the people, all of a sudden, man, they're speaking in tongues. Everybody hears, everybody understands. And there's this, like, you know, worship thing going on. Never happened here Sunday morning, but, you know, we could loosen up a little bit now and then. You'd be surprised. And Peter's like, wow. And Peter recognizes this is the upper room for the rest of the world, and that we're all united in that moment. Because that was always God's vision, that there's a table that's open to everyone. 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 And sometimes Sunday morning, man, across our country, is the most divided hour in our nation. And the church gets all uppity about everybody else, but they ought to look in the mirror and read that vision. To Sunday morning ought to be a time to unite around God's table. Not judge other people. Not try to get them to believe just like you or me or whoever. That ought to be to listen to God. To allow the Holy Spirit to come through. To give you a new vision, a new heart, a new love through God's grace. So where are you today in God's vision? Because this was always the vision of God, that all people in all places would be blessed. It's always been part of the prophecy. God was at work since the very beginning in Genesis. God was at work pursuing people to heal, to reconcile, to forgive, to give God's grace. And Christ gave his life, not just his teaching, his life, that we would know God's forgiveness and grace, that God would bring together justice and love in a new era and a new world. Doesn't mean we're all perfect, because we're not, but what we are is forgiven. What we are is hopefully filled with God's grace and love, and realize that we don't have the complete picture yet. God is still at work, but God wants us to see it. God wants us to experience that. And this morning, it's sort of a two-way street, I think. It always is. You might come to worship this morning around God's table and say, man, I'm just too hurt. I'm just too broken from the past, from either my failures, my hurts, things I've done wrong, way people have hurt me, whatever it is. I just feel too hurt and heartbroken to come around God's table. And I would say that's exactly the reason to come around God's table, because you can't do it on your own. Allow God's table to minister to you, to reconcile you as an active part of God's grace. Because it was never about the food. It was always about the people. It was never about all the doctrine. It was always about the love of God as we come around the table. Because here we see God's grace and love in a new and greater and more empowering way. Or, on the other side, as we come around the table, we may think all the other people are unworthy, and maybe just a select few are allowed around that table. And I would say to you, man, you need to look at the vision of Jesus. You need to look. Jesus died for everyone. And I want to read again that scripture that was read earlier from Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, you were all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed by Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ. That's the vision of God. That's the vision in God. And the church is struggling with it then, and the church is struggling with it now. But all of us need to get on board with God's vision of things in a greater and deeper and more powerful way. And even as we come around the table, there's so many theological differences. I know them so very well, trust me. But just in broad picture, I mean, there's folks that believe that, you know, this is the very real presence of Christ and the body and blood of Christ, and I think that's beautiful. And there's folks who just say, well, no, it's, you know, it's just bread, juice, or wine. It's just a symbol. And I would say, it's at least somewhere in the middle, because it's something pretty powerful. But here's one thing that everyone shares, is there's something special around that table, that it is spiritual food of the grace of Jesus Christ that nurtures us, our spiritual hunger, and sustains us spiritually, that you and I can help work out the grace and vision in our life and the grace and vision that God has for the church of Jesus Christ. And you think you know it all or got it all, I got news for you. You got a long ways to go. Jesus wants you to be empowered and fed. Jesus wants you to see a new vision, a broader, deeper, greater vision, and me too. And the church ought to be front and center of that in the world. We do not have to agree on everything, but we ought to have Christ at the very center of who we are. The love and grace of Jesus Christ is what changes the world, changes our life, and the Holy Spirit empowers the church in new and greater and more powerful dynamics than you and I could ever understand. So today, as you are in worship today, I say that to awaken all of our eyes, to allow God to lift us up, to see a new vision, even as God directed Peter to a new vision, to realize that God is doing new things in our life and new things in our world, to allow God's healing presence to heal the hurt and brokenness of our lives, to allow God's Holy Spirit to give us a new vision for what God is doing, to empower us to live out that vision and to be able to love and serve God and to love and serve neighbor with a new joy. I'm going to close with this thought and the story of a rabbi that I love. And back in the early 200s, and the people of the town came to this rabbi whom they loved, and they wanted to know, you know, some things about the Sabbath, the keeping the Sabbath law. And so they wanted to know when dawn begins, because, you know, that's important when it comes to the end of the Sabbath. And so they came to the rabbi and said, when does dawn begin, rabbi? Is it when you can tell the difference between a barn and a horse? And the rabbi said, no. And they said, well, does dawn begin? We can tell the difference between a sheep and a dog. And the rabbi says, no, that's not when dawn begins. And so they said, well, rabbi, tell us, how do we know when dawn begins? He said, until you can look each other in the eye and see each other as a brother or sister of God, there's still darkness, and dawn has not begun. Until you can look each other in the eye and recognize that you are all brothers and sisters of God, then there's still darkness, and dawn has not yet come. So today, friends, the vision of God is that all people, races, places, cultures, genders, backgrounds, whatever, are welcome around this God's table that God provides for us. So today, you are welcome around this table. Place down your fears, your shortcomings, your brokenness. Allow God to heal that. And look around you and to realize that all our brothers and sisters around that table, be part of what God is doing as you go forth from here. And all God's people said, amen.